Down to brass tacks, hello.
Morning.
Yes, good morning.
First of all, let me commend you on having that young man in this morning.
Yes, thank you.
His current jargon is right on point. Now, everybody, from the time the results were realized, some thought this is the end, this is the demise of the DLP. I don't support that at all. It is impossible for a party of such standing that has laid the foundation for the development of Barbados, independence and onward from that point, to suddenly disappear off the scene because of a massive defeat. Now, we've been down to two, and we've been down to three, and those parties that suffered those defeats came back and won. So I am saying that I think Democratic Party will rise again. There are still leaps and bounds ahead of the other new parties that came on the scene. And I think that they have a chance to rebuild under any leadership, as far as I'm concerned. I take your point and I support it. Everybody is hammering Verla de Pisa. But we do not know what she will produce in the process of time. We're not even sure what Ms. Motley will produce in her capacity as the Prime Minister. Now, everybody is saying 20 years it's going to take the DLP to regroup, revamp. I don't support that at all. In other words, they're trying to suggest that the DLP will do so much that they will be held in power for the next 20 years. I don't see that. It is a possibility, but I don't see it. We now have to find out what these youngsters who were brought in the suite, and this is what the suite does, has done it before, what they can produce. As you said earlier, a lot of them are unknown. We have to see now what they can produce as ministers, those who have ministries, and also in their constituencies. And I think the Deans, they've got young blood, they've got Nicholas Allen, they've got George Connolly, can't remember all of them, but I'm sure they need some of the old guard. I am not supporting Mr. Wiggins or Mr. B that you build with new boards. That's not necessarily true. You need a mixture of the old guard, as you said, and the new, because you cannot bring all new. They not know where to start. They need somebody who's been there to show.
Let me ask you this question, though. This whole discussion seems to revolve around personalities.
Exactly.
Who are the people that the Democratic Labour Party needs? May I ask you, though, in terms of philosophy and vision, doesn't the Democratic Labour Party have to do something else? Do you believe that vision and philosophy that they have articulated over the years remains as relevant today as it was then? Or do they need to do something more, something different?
Let me answer that first by saying, let's refer to the mighty Gabby, Dr. Gabby, when he said in one of his songs, and I'm sure you remember it, BLP, same party, he believes that their philosophies are quite similar. And that is why sometimes the transitions that have been made crossing the floor has been so easy, because there's no big philosophical difference between the two. Now, has the BLP changed? Has the BLP changed? The BLP is trying to suggest that they are bringing new ideas and so on. I heard you this morning. I support you again. They're bringing a commission to examine something that was supposed to have been examined some time back. And what are they going to bring now that they didn't have before? Well, I'm saying also, the sweep, as I said earlier, has brought new blood. And the DLP will also bring new blood. And they've got to go out and cement their personal bases and the respective constituencies that they purport to run in. And Irene Sandiford Garner and Verla de Pisa, they've been there. They've not been successful in winning, but they've been in the fray, so to speak. Connolly and these guys have not been. And it's like the rest of these things. We made a clean sweep. way back in 1991, when Richards retired and said he wanted to continue in the World Cup, they wouldn't have it. And they brought Richie Richardson, good player, but no experience to speak about as a captain. He had his moment in time, but then when the pressure came, we faltered, and we haven't picked ourselves up since then.
And you think that there's an analogy between the West Indies cricket team and the Democratic Labour Party as it is today?
Just like what I'm saying, we went for completely new blood, and we are still floundering. And the DLP cannot go the completely new blood, or not they will flounder.
I think that a lot depends upon what happens in the coming months at two levels. I think a lot depends upon the degree to which the government is able to deal with the economic crisis that faces Barbados, and to what extent people believe that they are able to pull us out of this, let's say, within 2 to 3 years, 4 years or thereabouts. What blunders may be made by the current administration could also have an influence. But I also think that the Democratic Labour Party is under a very deep scrutiny at the moment. I think that we are waiting to see if anything else happens that comes across as a blow to the Democratic Labour Party's image in the period that it led Barbados. We wait to see exactly how things will pan out. It is still early days. And I would not, like you, I would not go down the road of saying, oh, they're going to be in the political wilderness for 15 years or 20 years. But at the same time, I think that if certain things happen, it could hurt them even further. And I wait to see. I mean, this matter that has erupted with respect to Donville Innes in the United States, I also believe that we have to have a very open mind on what exactly is happening there, wait to see what the American authorities are doing, because we don't have a clue as to exactly what their objectives are above and beyond what they have already stated. So all of that is there for the taking, huh?
I agree.
Okay, thank you. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Yes, good afternoon. Good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, good morning.
Yes, sir. Whose footsteps are you in?
Mine?
Yeah.
I don't know. You have to tell me. I mean, I haven't...
But you know,
haven't been listening to or discussing or examining this question of whose footsteps I'm in.
No, I know. I didn't say you were. You know, the talk so far this morning was saying that Verlin Irene Sandefjord-Gjerne is part of the former Prime Minister's footsteps. So therefore, he was just asking whose footsteps you were in. I'm just only throwing that one in. But anyhow, be as it may, David, this morning, Emily, I had to call because I've heard some things being said, and I defend people on their ability. I must say that the young chap that you had there, the attorney at law, I don't know which part of the law in which he's in, but he seems like he will be a handful at the bar in terms of voice. Now, the people of this country spoke on the 24th of May, and they selected the party to run the country. The 12th of August, the Democratic Labour Party selected the persons that they deed to run their organization for the period to come, a year or two, whichever, how long it is. And there's all types of criticism from people who should or should not be, and the poorness of the person who is now heading the organization. And fortunately, the person was unopposed. And persons are saying that should be the person or persons to run were not put up. One could only get a position by the ballot or run unopposed. So I have no qualms about anybody who did not, who people feel that there should be X, Y, or Z. But it's a voting process. And even if you were in the Ling and you were not voted for, if you were not placed there, then you, how can you argue for someone who should be, who should run the organization? People are choosing who they want. And you need to give a person a chance to see what they are made of. Now, to Mr. Wiggins, who would have said to you in the outset that the young lady had only one, I think, one box. To my best knowledge, Mr. Wiggins would have run, I think, in St. Peter on a couple of occasions. And if my memory served me well, I don't think that he would have voted. He would have earned about 300 votes. And I don't think that he had even won a box in his running. Now, he said Saturday night to you, but it was the people's business that came on Sunday nights when the young lady used to be there. And I must say, that young lady is very articulate in the terms of her profession, law. And also in the Senate, I thought, then I heard Verla, the guy from Finn, that went, that used to moderate there with you at one point in time, and Mr. Tony Marshall, I would have gotten my desire in listening to the Senate. Right now, when I listen to the Senate, I actually drop to sleep. There are persons there that cannot even speak for the allotted time in the Senate. In the House Assembly, it's the same.
But has that not always been the case?
No.
You're giving the impression that all the people in the Senate on every occasion have been able to speak eloquently and for long periods?
Yes, sir. I have listened to the Senate where the presidents that I have listened to over the time from the Labour Party right through down where Ms. Chandler was there and Professor, I think she's Ms. Newton, and they weren't there. That the president always had a time that your time was up and you need to...
Man, I've been a journalist for a long time and I've known periods when that wasn't so. Not everybody in the Senate...
I said most people. I didn't say everybody, David. Even right now in the House, there are some persons who cannot even speak for 10 minutes. There's one person that I really feel for when I hear them speaking.
Well, I remember that the last session... There were concerns that people to deliver a speech, they had to read it too.
I had to be prepared
and all that. And I heard people who have listened to parliamentary debate over the years lament that that's what parliamentary debate came to.
I accustomed going to sleep when parliament finished at 1 and 1:30 and 2, listening from the beginning to the end. This don't happen. So far, that the House stopped the other day. They don't know if they're on recess or if they adjourned until this week or what. And that never missed me. I listen from the beginning to the end. I mean, it is really...
It changes really from time to time. And while you talk about how entertained you were by previous sessions, I know a lot of people who were not. And it didn't just start within the last 10 years. For quite some time, there are people who just got turned off of the quality of debate coming from the House of Assembly. So it varies from person to person.
But I am not saying that some people wouldn't get turned off, but I must say that I used to enjoy, and I must say that I enjoy listening to both sides of the fence. And I listened from the end of it, but my favorite, like when Sir Henry Ford and those guys were in Parliament, I enjoyed listening to those persons, despite of which side of the fence they were on when they're in opposition or when they were in government or vice versa. You know, Miss Motley. You know, I can actually tell people things that when Miss Motley was in the last session, things that she said when she gave her presentation in the House Assembly. You know, I enjoy listening to Parliament because you learn a lot. You hear things. You hear things that are being said. Things that, you know, and enjoy. But now I drop. I find myself sleeping. It becomes boring to me both in the Senate.
Well, you need to. You know what happened? We got to put you under greater microscope, so that we could get better appreciate why you would fall asleep now and not before.
In both houses.
Because you may, if you examine yourself, you may discover that there's a deeper reason why you're falling asleep now.
No, and it has nothing to do with any. because I'm not a member of any political party.
Oh, come on. You're going to have to be. You don't have to be a member of any political party.
The quality of people, that person who have term ministers, who are ministers and term ministers, persons
no,
who
you
are...
Don't forget, we listened to you on this calling program for years.
No, David. No, you
for years.
Years.
And
no,
therefore,
no,
your particular support, not your membership. I know nothing about membership.
I support. I like you, David.
The support, and therefore,
so support
I don't know to what extent the support that you have consistently given to one party or the other may be influencing whether you fall asleep or not.
No, but listen, all the persons have always make up the majority sometimes or the minority, right?
All right.
Majority or the minority. And I tell you, I listen to all.
All right,
so don't come with that. That Chinaman will not get through. My
well, I don't think that is a Chinaman. It is quite clear to me that as people, we differ in the way that we respond to situations. Sometimes when I hear somebody who I believe is a habitually talks nonsense, I would say, well, I don't want to hear that person. I mean, I know what to expect. I have already developed this stereotypical view. Then there's a person that you don't want to hear them just because you know their views and yours are not going to coincide. So you run away from that discussion. You run away from people that you believe are particularly hostile in the way that they deliver their message. You know, or if they sound namby-pamby, like they're always talking a lot of nonsense to you. So there are different reasons why you fall asleep and why you run away. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Hello, Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air. Hello. 4341790. Hello.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir.
Yes, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Marcella, it's my best respect to you, sir.
Thank you. Same to you.
Yeah. The last caller, sir.
Yes.
I hope you don't allow him to get to you with the speaking. He got fall asleep with the assembly. He fall asleep with the Senate, and he do all kinds of things. He ain't a member of the party. But you could represent the party without you as a member.
Turn off your radio. It is distracting you.
Yeah. I want to know, right, what everybody is saying that Vernon DePisa is the right choice. When Vernon DePisa, Mr. Ellis, you can listen carefully. She was there when the rest was cast to get in Miss Motley. Our present prime minister. Nobody that is going, a woman of her, she's a lady, she said. She's a lady, but nobody else is a lady. And Miss Garner was there too. How come the people of Barbados can look at the two of these after they've cast to get our prime minister? How they going to look at these women that come in the lead now? And both of them said, they would like to know what kind of leadership would be. They question her leadership and all kind of thing. And how come now nobody can come and say what they should do from what they should do when they twit in the smartly face? What do you say with that, Ms. Ellis?
Well, I think that what goes around has the potential to come around.
Exactly.
And, you know, it is already well stated that the life of women in politics is not the same as it is for men.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you sincerely hope that we have risen beyond this notion of a person being fit for office only on the basis of gender. But there are still people, as much as we would hope that you have gone way beyond that, there are still people who hold fast to the view that females are not fit for leadership, and therefore they train their guns on them in a different way. One would hope that the Barbados Labour Party, now that it is led by a woman, and having been through the experience of the last election, would learn that firing all your guns on an individual in that way on the basis of what some see as gender really has not worked. And to that extent, it may shield Verla de Pisa and other people in the Democratic Labour Party, other females in the Democratic Labour Party, from a similar onslaught. But that is perhaps at the overt level. At the more covert level, it may still obtain. So we just have to wait and see. I mean, generally speaking, people should be measured on the basis of their capacity to deliver. And that's what matters more than anything else. But I must tell you, I live in a country where I must concede as a male that life is far more difficult for females holding positions and living in this society than it is for the male. Women have taken on a greater degree of responsibility in this country than they have ever had before. You know, women functioning as politicians and other jobs still have, in many instances, to deal with their children, their partners, and then they have to deal with their parents, the elderly parents and that sort of thing. They struggle to do so many things in one day, in one week. It's tremendous. And if there's one thing I hope will emerge from a lot of the ascendancy of women to positions of influence and power in Barbados, I really hope that they pay a lot of attention to how they can assist other women in trying to cope with the load, to cope with the burden, because it ain't easy, you know? And sometimes they themselves don't want to admit that, you know, they carry a greater burden today than before. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Good afternoon, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, welcome.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well.
Okay. Maybe first of all, start by giving you a simple piece of arithmetic. 36 plus 13 equals 49. That's not even 50. Okay, and that's the sum total of the votes that one of the detractors of Verla got in the two elections in which he ran. And I want to suggest that anybody who thinks that Verla is a political lightweight, so to speak, does not know Verla's history and contribution to our Democratic Labour Party.
What's that history, if I may ask?
Okay. Verla, as a young lady, even before she went off to university, was involved in all the background work in a number of constituencies. Came back, had a legal practice, was a young mother in 2003 and in 2008, and spoke on almost every one of the platforms that I was involved in St. James North. She was a committee member of St. James North.
I who?
I didn't identify myself. I'm Austin Husband, mm-hmm. a former Democratic Labour Party candidate and a Democratic Labour Party member. Now, I don't want to give the impression that everything is going to be sealed and settled because a woman has taken up a position within the party, or that, you know, Verla has all the attributes and all the assets. She has a team with whom she will work, and I am expressing confidence in her and her ability to choose a team. Now, Verla is not that old, as some would like to suggest, but she has been involved for a long time. And as I said, as a young mother, she showed that she can sacrifice time and come out and work with us in the Democratic Labour Party. She has continued. She has been a very good attorney at law. But having said that, I mean, that's in her profession. She has shown that she is an attribute in her profession. But politically, you know, Verla has worked behind the scenes with several.
Let me put it to you. Let me ask you this question. How do you respond to the notion that you all really were between a rock and a hard place and your choices were very limited, and to that extent, You coming to extol the virtues of Verla de Pisa must be looked at in that context.
Well, David, anybody who gets that impression, you know, I would not say that you're wrong, because from, you know, on the face of it, the optics will show that I'm there to support her, blah, 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 because of her assistance or whatever. But I don't think that behind that those limited options either. As someone who...
What other choices working, did you have?
Should I name names?
Well, it's up to you.
I would prefer not to name names, but I'm telling you that within the Young Democrats, and I don't really want to name names, because some of the people that I see as the future are very closely associated with me.
What does this party need to do more than just look at individuals? If you come
to me and tell me,
oh, this person is so great and better for the leadership and that sort of, leadership is one part of it.
Yeah.
But what else does this party need,
judgment? Did you notice that I talked about team, and I talked about somebody who is capable of working with a team? And I think that's what the Democratic Labour Party needs right now. Yes, because...
But you all sat down there and you heard the former Prime Minister talk about how people who were in the leadership of the party treated the General Council of the Democratic Labour Party. How could you sit down for so long and put up with that bad behaviour?
But, David, it's not anybody put up with the bad behavior. Everybody knows that we complained about it. Yes, and I was one of the vocal ones that was opposed to a lot of the announcements.
But you say you complain, but why is it that the party that is as mature as the Democratic Labour Party was unable to bring those people into line? What does it tell you about leadership and the challenges associated with it?
Well, you know, a certain amount of lethargy occurs in most organizations. There's the old saying that 90% of the work in any organization is done by only 5% of the people. And that is not untrue about the Democratic Labour Party as an organization.
If you're running if you run a party like that, how can you run a government well?
No, hold on. The two are distinct and very different, Mr. Ali.
Explain.
Okay. Running a government, you're looking at more macro than the micro organization.
Principal.
And within the political party, mm-hmm. you have branches. The branches have a certain responsibility to the party or to party headquarters. If you're having problems within the branches, which is the micro aspect of the party, then you know that only two or three people are going to come on. That happens. I mean, some branches can't even get a quorum in a lot of political parties. Right, they can't even get a quorum, and that is because of the nature, or let's say, the lethargy that occurs.
Let me put it to you this way. We were talking earlier about how a certain culture in Barbados is impacting on tourism. According to the analysis which was shared with us over the weekend by the Minister of Tourism, people are complaining about Barbados as a place where when you're going to stores and that sort of thing, you're not getting good treatment. And therefore, it is that attitude that then spills over into impacting on our capacity to earn more. Similarly, if you have people in a political party, in the leadership of that party, who are demonstrating a lack of discipline and commitment to the party, how can you expect to divorce that from how they conduct themselves at another level? And that is within the governmental structure. I thought that the way that this thing would work is that the councils of the party are used to draw your MPs into line, because that is the first place that the MPs will hear the reaction of people on the ground. And when they fail to make contact, and let me tell you, over the years, I've never been inside any of these parties, but I have spoken to people who have been, and I have heard how the rank and file, once they make themselves available, will tear them to shreds and tell them, listen, this is what is expected of you. But if you fail to do that, it causes you to lose contact. No wonder some of them appear to be in a bubble, because they were not making contact with a critical organ within your own party that could have helped to set them right.
Oh, okay, David, you said a lot there just a minute. Mm-hmm. Let's go back to, and I'm going to link the service sector as you have done, with the political party. if a person behaves that way in something that brings them their money and earns them a livelihood, chances are that it will follow in anything that is voluntary. And remember, a political organization is a voluntary organization. Like Boy Scouts, Girl Guides, the church choir. And we can see all these things that have permeated society for a little bit too long. And that survey that we're talking about, we've had surveys that have shown how Barbados has deteriorated service-wise, or how it's perceived service-wise by visitors who come to the island. Yet, those same visitors come to Barbados because they want a laid-back holiday. So it is difficult to strike that balance that is absolutely necessary. So I want to say, though, that same kind of thing of attitude not only permeates the society, but it goes right through and into political organizations. So we are not alone. We are not the only ones that would have done it. What we are doing, though, and we understand that there's a need to rebuild the Democratic Labour Party.
How? So rebuild how? From your experience with the party.
We have to rebuild confidence. The confidence of the people.
You think that the structure of that party is relevant to today's world?
No.
What would you do differently? No.
Well, we first of all, the Democratic Labour Party has never had a good PR image or had anyone who wanted to concentrate on public relations. And that is one critical aspect of the rebuilding process that must be looked at. You know, we all talk about what the fancy word is, socialist, so they use now, human capital. You have to look at the skills bank that you have within the party, within the branches, and it has to start with the branches. I know I keep saying branches, but we have to look seriously at the human capital that we have within the branches and have a skills bank. And I think Barbados needs that. So the Democratic Labour Party has to, like all other organizations within our country, has to seriously look at what we have there and what we can utilize to take the country forward. I, mind you, I'm not one who believes that Barbados has hit rock bottom. I don't believe that. That has not been my experience. I am on the ground. Right? I am still on the ground.
But if not Barbados, what about the Democratic Labour Party? Would you say they've hit rock bottom?
Hit rock bottom.
If you lose 30 seats, if you lose all 30 seats, you don't hit rock bottom?
No. Hold on, that's the
problem. And now you're seeking to rebuild from rock bottom.
No. We are seeking to rebuild that public confidence, which was some of it has been eroded. But remember, Mr. Ellis, 60% of Barbadians voted. We had the lowest voter turnout ever. So it means that the people were not only dissatisfied with the Democratic Labour Party, it was also dissatisfied.
It means that a lot. But it means that a lot of them were dissatisfied with the Dems, and including Democratic Labour Party supporters, especially Democratic Labour Party supporters. And in all the discussion that I have heard...
David, I am not going to knock you on that.
All the discussion that I have heard, it seems to me that it is crucial that the Democratic Labour Party has a better appreciation and understanding of why its own people treated it that way.
Yeah, because, like I said, communication has been a gap, and we need to improve on our communication. Now, as a matter of fact, we need to look seriously at our level of communication and be able to come out and speak with the public. And I am telling you, I can assure you this, that you will see a lot more of us. And I, my friend is 39 plus 16 months. 36 but 13 months. Tell him. He has been a member of four parties. I've only been a member of one. So you will see a lot more of...
But he's had more diversity in life, therefore, than you.
Diversity. That's not making sure.
I mean, you can look at the glass half empty or half full, you know.
All right, okay. I see you want to interject some humor.
No, I think, but that's a reality. If he's been with four parties, he said, well... Because I've been with four parties, I have a better understanding.
But, wait, so a fellow that married four times will have more experience than a fellow that was married once.
Yes, we got more experience with different women. But the fellow who married once, we got more experience with one wife.
But it depends on from whom you will draw your experience, right? And I'm just saying that four parties, to me, I just call them Pumanat politicians. You remember Kitchener had a calypso about Pumanat. Anyway, seriously though, I know that there's a deficit with regards to our public relations. Yes, VOB give us the lashes because nobody would turn up at the various
things. We didn't give you lashes. You all gave us lashes by deciding that you weren't going to cooperate with us.
Well, okay, I can assure you though that you are going to see a new Democratic Party, right? And I know that you know Verla has the capacity to do what she has to do, but she also has, and I know that she will understand that all the guns are trained on her right now. And
she's not alone.
She has to deflect.
She is not going to get any more blows than any other political leader around here. The lashes that Mia Motley took. I mean, I don't think that, you know.
But she can get all the guns are going to be trained.
This is part, and this is an era where, with social media, for instance, even if you bring a greater degree of control to it, that does not mean that you're not going to be able to get, you're not going to get criticism through it.
No, immediate
criticism as well.
I wouldn't want to silence social media either. I think that we just have to, there has to be some kind of control because some of the things that I see coming through, and I like Facebook, I use it as a means of communicating, but there's some of the things that come through, some of the personal attacks and that kind of thing, that we can do well with though. And I think that the legislation has to be strengthened in that area. I mean, how can people do some of the dirty things that I see them doing to others in the name of it is my page?
That
has to go. Thanks very much, David.
Thank you very much
for
calling.
You have a good day. I remember 36 plus 13 is 49.
Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Miss Harris.
Yes, sir.
A blessed day to you, sir.
Boy, you got a pep in your step this morning.
You know, you said something just now that made me smile.
What's that?
When you and the caller, Mr. Husband Austin, was speaking, when you were talking about the person who had been in four parties and Amahai and having four wives.
Yes.
You know, you were talking about a confused person, a confused mind, you know.
You think?
I don't think. I am telling you, you were talking about a confused mind.
But you know, in that vein, a confused mind can still learn a lot from the experiences.
Well, yeah, but what they're learning is just more confusion.
That's your assessment.
No, I'll tell you this. There is no stability in a person like that.
But you know, a man could be married for 40 years to a miserable woman and in a miserable relationship, and you will say how stable he has been in misery? That could happen too.
No, it tells me. No.
Listen, the length of time that you are in a relationship is no guarantee that it has been a good relationship.
Now, it says something about you as an individual. If you are a stable-minded person, you are the one who is in control of you, not you and somebody else.
I don't understand that argument.
Well, no, but you don't understand.
A stable-minded person must be in charge of self, yeah.
Of themselves,
but
yeah.
You know what? You have to interact with other people. And while you are in control of self, there are compromises that must be struck and that sort of thing. So,
I'll tell you this. I would not follow a mind like that. I wouldn't. Because then they would lead me one way now, and then they come back and lead me another way in it.
So tie that to the current political environment in Barbados.
No, but I am not confused, so I am not going to do that. But here, I was just referring, that's not what I want to talk. I just was mention of that according to what you were saying, speaking with Austin just now.
But you're going to get a chance to develop this point, because we got to go to the news.